Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it's that time of the week. You know it is. Wednesday's hump day. We hear the camel at the beginning of the show. That means somewhere around the beginning of hour number three, we jump on into a thing we call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio. So let me just call a quorum and see what we got here on the roll call. So turning my attention northward first from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting out of Huntsville, host of the Dale Jackson Show. Also does a gig with Yellowhammer News and has a TV gig as well. That would be Dale Jackson. Are you there? You are. Stand at ease. All right. And then turning southward to the far end down there on the Gulf of America, FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, editor-in-chief of 1819 News. And yeah, also does stuff with Land Yap, Breitbart, and whatever else. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present. Correction. I have been let go from Land Yap.
Well, you know what? Their loss. But I pronounce a quorum. All said and done, hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-ba-da. All right, we're on. Jeff, since you're apparently licking your wounds with Land Yap, go ahead and you take the first question, man. What you got?
Biggest takeaway from last night's municipal elections. Probably more of a, I know there's a lot of statewide implications, but you guys have a North Alabama perspective. What do you think?
Dale, you go first.
Well, I think you got a lot of new mayors around the state, and you can run through there, and a lot of them are those Big Ten mayoral cartel they have. You got Madison, Decatur really, I think, is one of the more important ones. I know it's kind of maybe a smaller story, but they had a chance to go with one of the city council members who had been causing all of the problems at the city council, Billy Jackson. He was a bit of the issue with this whole Steve Perkins thing. He just got absolutely trounced. So he's done off the city council altogether, which is good for the city. And I think it sends a message that the city did not like the way it was being handled in all those protests, which have kind of mired the city's reputation. That's the biggest one in North Alabama, I think. Status quo in Madison, probably, and in Athens. I think that's the biggest story.
Yeah, and then North Central Alabama, too, you got, of course, Woodfin ran away with the race, which I thought it would be closer than it was, I'll be honest with you. And granted, that's an all-blue race. Pretty much all blue. But that was one where, at the very least, I thought Wandling Gavan had made enough noise to not be in third place. I thought that was a little interesting. But I look at the Woodfin record, which has not been great. The city is struggling. The city has gone down in its census since he took office. The city has got crime rate through the roof. They're even talking about intervening from Montgomery to square away the crime issues. And yet he got 72% of the vote, if I'm not mistaken. And I find that to be just another example of stupid is as stupid does. And if you keep voting these people in, you're going to keep getting more of the same. So that was a huge one in the Big Ten. Your thoughts, Jeff, what do you got?
I would put, I think, a lot of Birmingham races. Obviously, Mobile had a slight surprise last night with Spiro Charagotis doing as well as he did. And then Barbara Drummond, everybody thought would be a lock. And the question was, would she get 50%, or would she get close to 50% and make it hard for the sort of the Republican or white candidate in Mobile to compete, but she only got like 34%.
Yeah.
She really, really struggled. So, but I think this Hoover story is pretty big with Frank Mercado losing. I agree about Birmingham. And there's some council races. Mountain Brook's very interesting. That swung once people started figuring out who one of the candidates, David Silverstein, kind of a big Democrat financier, in a lot of the statewide politics. He lost last night, but on the other hand, Homewood went blue, pretty blue last night. So I think those are some takeaways there. And then there's some other ones around the state, but dealing with some of these places with the libraries, it turned out that wasn't a big issue in any. Really anywhere last night.
Well, let me ask you this, Jeff. You kind of intoned in your question, what did these elections tell you about things to come? Do you think these portend something? Like, is there more blue coming? Is there more red coming? What are you seeing?
Alabama's a very tribal place. And I'll tell you something else, Senator, what I was looking for was turnout.
Yeah.
turnout varied wildly from municipality to municipality. There was no consistent theme. Some places, some, you know, decent-sized cities, the turnout was in the hundreds and, you know, down around 9, 8%. And then in some places, you're topping 30, 35%, which is high for a municipal election. I was looking for that. But I guess the one theme, it just seemed that Dale pointed this out with Decatur, the reasonable case, the reasonable candidate tended to do a little bit better than a bomb thrower or somebody with some kind of radical viewpoint.
Cool. I'll tell you what, while we're talking about cities in our state, let me talk about comments that Tommy Tuberville made. So Senator Tuberville, very likely not, I mean, unless something like drops out that we can't see, he's going to be our next governor. So Tommy Tuberville says he has no problem with the idea of bringing the National Guard to Montgomery or Birmingham to resolve crime issues if that's what it takes. And so he's talking about doing it as a governor, which I thought was interesting. Give me your thoughts on that one. Dale, you first.
Yeah, I think it's going to be my question, too, so we can spend some time on this. With Tennessee and Alabama both, I mean, you have problems in big cities, Memphis, Birmingham, some say Nashville. I'm not sure I buy it. I think Montgomery's under control. But the fact is, why would you not want to use your National Guard to do this? It's showing it's working in D.C.
Yep.
Who cares what Woodfin says? Who cares what whoever the hell the mayor of Memphis says? Who cares? They failed. And Archibald just wrote a piece for AL.com talking about, you know, Birmingham swaggers back or something. It's like, what are you talking about, you loser? I mean, it just makes absolutely no sense that they're trying to sell that. Send in the guard.
Jeff, I got some thoughts, but you go ahead first.
No, I don't know necessarily Birmingham or Montgomery. I think they're already working with the feds. They just don't want you to know it because it hurts them politically. The three places I would say you need to watch. Bessemer, outskirts of, you know, Birmingham there. I think Pritchard down my way. And I'd say the city of Selma.
Yeah.
Those places seem to be really deteriorating. They're, you know, the law enforcement presence just isn't there. But the Montgomery's, Birmingham, Mobile, Huntsville, I mean, they seem to be working with Aaliyah or the feds, when there's issues.
Here's the thing, and I think what he'd have to deal with is what Trump's got going for him right now in D.C. is he has an actual statute. He has the Home Rule Act that allows him to intervene and actually take over the police force and give them direction. Whereas I think in these Alabama cities, the governor calls up the guard. All you can do is hope for cooperation. Otherwise, you're just running alongside them as opposed to sort of lead, guiding, and directing. So it would be a bit dicier. But I still think that there are parts. You mentioned Birmingham, and by the way, I used to live in Mobile, so I'm totally familiar with Pritchard. But I think that Bessemer and Pritchard absolutely need to be looked at, and it would be interesting to see if they get that kind of cooperation. Third question, first round, 2 minutes. What do you got, Dale?
Well, you kind of stole my question, but I'm gonna go back to John Archibald. Then he's saying Birmingham can get back their swagger and get their law and order under control, start attracting businesses and stuff again. But they're losing population.
Yeah, they are.
And that's the truth. And they've got big, serious problems. Can they get their swagger back?
Well, it depends on what the swagger is. I mean, right now you got a pro football team, sort of, that's looking at leaving, although they made it. Now they say they're staying. You got the population base that is fleeing. They've gone from being the largest city in the state to now they're maybe third, almost fourth, all within one 10-year span. And the business community is suffering. Until you can do something to reduce crime and enhance the ability for people to actually live with quality inside the city limits, they're not going to have their swagger back. They're just not. Jeff Rowe?
No, Birmingham's a dead town. I mean, you'll have a central business district, but the infrastructure's old. There's nicer places to live in the Birmingham area. If you have to have a job in Birmingham, why would you live in Birmingham unless you're, Shaun of the South or whatever, who was at Avondale. But, you know, you live in, there's all these nice places, Mountain Brook, Homewood, Vestavia Hills, Hoover, Shelby County, et cetera, and they can't compete with that. I mean, why would we invest so many resources into trying to get Birmingham its quote-unquote swagger back?
Your own question, Dale, 30 seconds, what do you got?
No, I don't think they can. Jeff laid out almost every single one of the reasons that they don't seem to be going in the right direction. Rewarding Woodfin just says, okay, do what you keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, that's where we are. The magic city, the tragic city. All right, we're taking a break right now. There's round one. That's it. The Grand Council. That flew by. Round one, Grand Council. Round two coming up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, we're back for round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and just little old me. So let me go down to Mobile there. Jeff Poor, next question. What you got?
Another tragedy today with the school shooting up in Minnesota. Tell me this. Will we ever see the left is already kind of talking about assault weapons ban or whatever that means. But if they really mean what they say, why do these guys just never just say, well, why don't we repeal the Second Amendment?
Because they know they can't get there. They try to create these little artistic carve-outs and pretend that's not a violation of the Second Amendment. But you know what's really amazing is Minneapolis has some of the most draconian gun control laws. They have red flag laws. They have assault weapons bans. They have extended background checks. They have any number of things that are designed to prevent exactly what happened today. And guess what? It didn't do a thing to prevent it. You had a sick individual who, if there was anyone ever going to qualify for a red flag law, it would have been him. And he still shot up a church full of kids. It's an amazing story, Dale.
Yeah, I they're never going to admit what they want to do, because if they tell the truth, nobody will support them.
That's right.
So they can't do it. I mean, the real problem here that needs to be addressed is how much did affirming these people for years, over the last 10 years, set our country back on mental illness and stuff like this? The only mental illness that we have where we say, hey, how can we make it to where these people can live with this? But we've decided we're going to do that for some reason. And now look at the problems it creates. And I guess we're just going to deal with this from now on. And that's just how it is, because these people are out of their damn minds and we're treating them like they're normal, and they're not.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is there is no other mental illness in the world where you're required to join them in the mental illness as part of their so-called affirming healing than this, transgenderism. Everything else is required to help them get out of it. In this case, they daggum well want you to jump on in it with them. It makes no sense. The whole thing is a psychosis. Jeff, your own question. What's your thoughts?
Well, the measures, it's always looking for a solution, and we talked about the mental illness aspects of it, and I don't know what the answer is there either, but it's always something to do with taking guns. Republicans just need to, I mean, we're never going to do what they want to do because we have a Second Amendment in this country. There's legal precedent. It goes to court. Their silly ideas get knocked down because of the Second Amendment every time. And I think it's something that Republicans just need to call them out on.
Call them out on and then hold the line on and just don't let them get away with it. All right, I tell you what, I got the next question. This one is a total aside. So in the Senate, I mean, among others, we got Marsha Blackburn and Tommy Tuberville, very conservative, both running for state offices now, leaving the Senate. In the House, we got Barry Moore, Chip Roy, Byron Donalds, Ralph Norman, all from the Freedom Caucus. Are we watching a conservative drain? Are the conservatives leaving D.C.? And what does that mean for us? Jeff, you first.
I'm okay with this. I mean, I get it. You're right about a conservative drain, but there's always... Like, it feels like that they're pretty good in the House Freedom Caucus of restaffing or restocking or reloading even. There's always going to be somebody. Some of these guys are probably better suited for state government, and then in the long run, that will be a net benefit to the country. You're right. I mean, I think, Jim Jordan, guys like that, the House Freedom Caucus types, need to be very, very cautious here, be very aware, and recruit very good candidates.
Yeah, they're going to have to. I mean, like Barry Moore, of course, we know personally, but the Chip Roy, I mean, he's going to be hell on wheels as an AG if he gets elected. But he's going to be a loss for the ability he takes to stand on things up in D.C. Dale, what are your thoughts?
I mean,
go ahead.
Real quick, I was going to say, but think about it, Senator. Having him as AG in Texas. Is probably a net benefit than him in the House as sort of a mid to back bencher.
It may sure enough be. Dale, your own thoughts on this?
Well, I, I think you guys are right. I mean, they're going to refill with people who are generally of the same mindset. They're coming from the same districts, obviously. And hopefully that's where that goes. But, yeah, you guys are right. They need to go – maybe going back to their districts is good. It'll be interesting to see who steps in and fills in for guys like Tuberville. Obviously, Marcia Blackburn gets to pick her own person. So she'll pick someone who's probably like-minded as well.
Last question, Dale. 2 minutes. What do you got?
I got two questions. One is strictly for you, Senator Williams. Let me ask you: Can you do the RFK Pete Hegseth challenge? Could you get that done? Could you do 50 pull-ups, 100 push-ups?
Push-ups, no problem. I haven't done a pull-up, and I can't tell you when. So give me time to practice, and I'll find out.
The sheriff of Madison County said the exact same thing. Hadn't done a pull-up in forever. That's the exact thing. He said the other question is similar, but not really. Arnold Schwarzenegger says he's going to fight Pete Hegseth. On this redistricting stuff. Does he have the stroke to do that? Is he still relevant?
Wait, Pete Hegseth? You're talking about Gavin Newsom.
Gavin Newsom.
Thank you. Sorry, I was going to say, I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. You got the governator going against the Gavinator, and I think that's funny. I think it would also be truly the alpha male versus the beta male. So if anybody can make hay out of this, it's going to be a former governor of California reminding people what's really good, and he's also a Republican, even though he's not always a super conservative. Jeff,
he's a has-been. I'm a little offended I didn't get asked about the pull-ups and the push-ups.
Dale, I already know the answer.
You didn't even offer your own assessment, physical fitness here either. But I'm
more than happy to do this with you two if you'd like. Let's give it a shot.
I just want to know, Dale, are you going to get in the ring with Raja Jackson anytime soon?
No, I'm not going to be doing that. No, that's an insane story. I cannot believe that's happened the way it is. I can't believe he's not in jail.
Yeah, hopefully that's coming. But anyway. All right, fellas. Wow, that was it. Great job. Appreciate you, and I love the fact that we got video now. So Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, thank you very much. Grand Council every Wednesday at top of hour number 3. That's some fascinating stuff. And now I got to try pull-ups. I got to go back and do pull-ups. It's been a while. I used to crank them out, but dang, dude, I'm old. Why is he challenging the old guy?
Hey, pull-ups are hard for me, too. I mean, it's just hard in general.
Well, there you have it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.